I'd like us to turn back in our Bibles to Matthew 11. Mainly going to look at verse 28, but we're going to go from 25 through. The title Jesus gives to God, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, whenever we approach God by praise and as well as prayer, it is good for us to eye him as a father. Mercies are then double sweet and powerful to enlarge the heart in praise, when received as a token of a father's love, with reverence and yet confidence as one able to defend us from evil and to supply us with all good. He gives his father thanks for because he has hid these things from the wise and prudent, yet revealed them to babe. These things which belong to our peace, Luke 19, verse 42, the great thing of the new, the great thing of the everlasting gospel has been hid from the wise and prudent. The world by wisdom be ignorant of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. While the wise and prudent are in dark about gospel mysteries, even babes in Christ have the sacrificing, saving knowledge of them. We all like to have an invitation to be invited to a party or function. Some are lucky to be invited to Buckingham Palace. Some do not, or some might get invited to other places. Some say no and some will say yes. Some don't get an invitation. Some invitations, there's a dress code, what you need to wear. Some no dress code is needed. Come as you are. Some take a gift and some do not. Some will be given an invitation card to show at the entrance, while some will not be given an invitation card to show. This passage is more important with precious truths. May God give us an eye to see and heart to feel their value. Let us learn to have a childlike and teachable frame of mind. Jesus says to his Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. It is not for us to attempt to explain why God has revealed the gospel to some and not to others. That's a mystery which we cannot know about. But God is sovereign over all. We can do is preach the gospel to them. The sovereignty of God is a deep mystery. We cannot measure it. It is a great truth to be had and to remember. The gospel is mainly hidden from those who are the wise and prudent in their own sight. Those whom the gospel is revealed are generally humble, simple-minded and willing to learn. Are you like that? Willing to learn? The words of the Virgin Mary are continually being fulfilled. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. That's Luke 1, verse 53. Let us beware of pride. That is pride of life, pride of wealth, pride of money, pride of work, pride in our own goodness. Nothing is more likely to keep someone out of heaven than pride. As long as we think we are something, we'll never be saved. Let us pray for and strive for humility. Let us seek to know our place in the sight of our holy God. The beginning of the way to heaven is to fear that we are on the way to hell and be willing to be taught of the Spirit. A step to saving faith to be able to say, as the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? All things have been delivered to him by his Father. The affairs of men and the verse that follows, Jesus claimed that the divine task had been committed to him, a claim that would be utterly blasphemous if Jesus were anything less than the sovereign God himself. There's a negative to the gospel, as we know. There's a positive and a negative. The negative is this. Hell is a place we do not want any unbeliever to go. It's where God's wrath is poured out upon unbelievers, and when they cry out to him, he has no sympathy for them. They had heard the gospel and rejected it. There are many false religions that lead to hell, and sometimes people can be caught up in the snare. There's only one way out. positive side. In the passage before us, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The question is, who is come to me? What does this mean? Is not to me, is not to a pastor, is not to a vicar, is not to a pope, is not to any man at all. It is the me has got a capital M, and to me that means Jesus. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden. Now, the thing is, we can come to him as we are. We can say to him, okay, I'll put a new suit on, or I'll do this and I'll do that. I will look at things and I shall be ready to come to you. No, that's not what it says in the scripture. So you can say, well, when I got time, I'm going to come, and therefore I will do my best, and therefore that'll be it. In Isaiah it says, all our righteousness was filthy rags. So we cannot do it. So who can come to Jesus to be saved? It says there, all who labor and are heavy laden. That's people with a burden of sin and the guilt of sin that's weighing them down. You have to come to him with your sins. There's no other way to come to him, because there's nothing in us whatsoever that we can please God at all. So therefore, we must come to him with our sins. Jesus went to a cross at Calvary to pay the price in full for our sins. As the gospel goes, he came from heaven down to earth, born of a woman, born under the law. He was sinless. He fulfilled the laws. And therefore, he was truly man and truly God in every way. As man, he went through things as we did, suffered. He was weary. He was tired. He did things. But he still didn't sin. There's a passage of scripture of a woman. The name isn't given. What an issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything. She tried to go to physicians. She tried everything, but nothing would work. So one day she thought, I know what I'll do. If I can but touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be whole. So by faith she went and she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole from that very moment. Jesus turned around and saw her and says, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Is he made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the maimed to walk. And he issued out and he cast out evil spirits. There was a man that had demons in him out by a cave. Nothing could hold him down. And Jesus said to him, what is your name? He said, Legion. Thinking, because of that, Jesus can't do anything. So with that, Jesus then said to the herd of swine down there, go on. So they went down the herd of swine and they perished. God is the God of the impossible. Jesus then went to a cross to pay the price in full for your and my sin. There were thieves either side of the cross. The one reviled him. The other one didn't. And Jesus saved his soul. Jesus died for our sins. He turned the whole anger of God upon himself. And he paid the price in full, which we could not pay, for our sins. He then died and he shed his precious blood for us to be cleansed of our sins. But then he rose again. And as he rose, he revealed himself to people. Because some people thought, well, you know, it's just not possible. He's hoaxed, whatever. But he revealed himself to people to see that he was risen. He was in the upper room. And the disciples there, and they thought they'd seen a ghost. And with that, he asked for a piece of boiled fish. And he ate it from saying, a ghost can't eat as I am eating. He did these miracles. And the thing is that when they took it, some people say that when he died on the cross, it wasn't a proper death. Joseph went to the cross to take his body down, and he knew he was carrying a corpse to the grave. So many religions were trying be rid of the fact of his resurrection. But there is proof there in scripture that he did rise. And it was a literal bodily resurrection. And he ascended to heaven. The scriptures here are truth in all that is his. And therefore, as he's truly man, truly God, we can come to him at any time. No matter what troubles we have, we can come to him and he will help us. Now, with Satan, he wants to destroy things that we have, but he can't. He's limited what he can do. He's powerless. And one of the scriptures that I would use concerning the fact of his limitations in Job chapter 1 and 2, where Satan was going to and fro in the earth, God spoke to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, he said, "You're protecting him. He won't do anything." He lost his family, but he said he must keep his life. You can't take his life. The second chapter in it, he spoke to him again, and this time he said, well, the Satan said to him, "Well, skin for skin, bone for bone. Any man will curse you and die for his life." So with that, God said to him, he's in your hands, but spare his life. You cannot take it. He's limited to what he can do. And others there as well for it. He went to the cross to pay the debt we could not pay. He loves us so much. He went to the cross, turned the whole anger of God upon himself, and died and shed his precious blood. They took him down from the cross and laid him to rest in the tomb. He then rose again and revealed himself to his disciples and others to show he had risen from the dead. He then ascended to heaven. He is our mediator. He can forgive sins and give us true rest. There are many religions who claim that they can forgive sins. Catholics believe the priest, you pay money, whatever, and go into a booth and confess your sins, he can forgive it. No, that's not true at all. It cannot happen. There's only one way to. Why would God choose a sinner to do that? No. How can we, when we try to bring ourselves to God, and we try to do it ourselves, to put ourselves right with God, if that were true and we could get to heaven, then what was the point of Jesus dying on a cross? He died because we couldn't do it, and he knew, and we knew we can't do it. But are you prepared to come to the cross with your sins and to accept the fact that you need forgiveness of sins? If you're trying yourself to go and to please God, please don't. This invitation is free. You don't need an invitation card or any gift of money, no dress code. It's a free invitation. No money, no nothing. A lot of invitations, you then perhaps take a gift. No, don't do it with this. It's all free. In the world, it says you cannot get anything for nothing. This is given for nothing. The gospel is given for nothing. Jesus died for your sins. All he wants you to do is bring your sins to him. He died for them, all, past, present, and future. Are you willing to come to him and be saved? And this is mainly for the website. Are you willing to come to him? Are you willing to say, okay, I'm hopeless and helpless. I need help. I accept the fact now that I'm a sinner. Will you save me? And you will. The thing is, you might try and put it off, and Satan will have you as much as he can to get you to put things off. But the thing is, that's dangerous, because God's patience can run out. And so therefore, when that happens, you could end up in hell where you don't want to be. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn to Jesus and to do it. Jesus loves you so much, he wants to put his arms around you. But you need to repent and be saved so we can do it. He loves you so much, he went to the cross. That's a special kind of love, to go there to die for sinner, for you and for me. Turn to him now. Plead with him to save you, but accept the fact that you are lost and that you're a sinner. Come to him, for he is the only one that can save you from your sins. No religions can do it. There are many false religions out there. They cannot help you in any shape or form. They say they can, but they can't. This is the truth in God's word. And so therefore, he went to the trouble of dying on a cross and rising again for you. Please turn to him. Look to him. The devil is not worried about coming in amongst the pulpits, the pews, I mean. He's not worried about doing that. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what to go for. But the thing is, he cannot take your life, but he can lead you to hell. Please don't let that happen. And on the website, if people listen to this, don't let that happen. Turn to Jesus now. We know that sin can make you hate God, but God can work in your heart to turn you to want to know about him, to know the message of the gospel. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So if you're trying yourself, please don't, because it won't get you anywhere at all, apart from hell. As I say, please do not wait. Satan will always say to you, wait. There's no time, there's no panic for it. You're young. But no. Go to a graveyard and you see every age from young to the oldest. Death has no respecter of ages. Turn to him. He is the only way. Please come to him now. His arms are open wide. He wants to put them around you. If you repent, he will. He is more willing to forgive you than you are to ask him to forgive you. Sin paralyzes us, but Jesus can save you and turn that around and set you free from it. I hope that you are willing to accept the invitation to come. Jesus gives you a yoke which is light. His ways are light and pleasant. He gives you rest, true rest. Not that the world knows about, and I love that's true, which you can't explain. But he gives you true rest as Jesus, the only rest you need for your souls. And you can experience heaven on the way to heaven. When I was at the conference last week, you were saying part of you is in heaven. And it's true, part of you is in heaven, but we're on earth. One day we'll go there. We have that hope in him to be there. But those who are lost don't have that hope. Other religions don't have that hope. Jehovah's Witnesses don't have the hope. You know, keep on taking in knowledge and hopefully you'll end up on life in paradise earth. It doesn't exist. It's Jesus that saves and it's Jesus that wants to save you. As I said, he's more willing to forgive than you are to ask him. But please turn to him and ask him to save your soul and he will. And the joy and the peace that will flood you is incredible. Christians around must rejoice in the fact that they are saved, gone from hell to heaven, and to have that hope of sureness that one day they will be in glory with him, worshipping him forever. Don't turn your back on it. To those who are unbelievers, don't turn your back anymore. Turn to him, face him. Accept the fact that you are lost and that you want your sins forgiven. Yes, it might take a lot out from you to do it because you feel, well, you know, I'm out, I'm finished. No, you've got more to gain than to lose. If you stay as you are, you've lost everything. But if you turn to him, you won't lose anything. You'll gain more, far more. The joy, the peace, kindness, goodness will flood your hearts. Please turn to him and be saved. Jesus never tires of preaching the gospel. He did it throughout his life. His life was only short on earth, but he did that for you and for me and to save those souls. Like I say, some people won't be saved. I don't know who they are. All my job is to preach the gospel for them to be saved. And I just pray that whoever listens to this on the website, if you're not saved, I pray that you'll turn to Jesus and be saved. Don't wait. The devil wants you to wait and says, oh, so what? No. Don't reject it. Accept it and be saved. Come to Jesus now. Well, on closing, I'm running out of things to say. I just plead with you that you'll turn to Jesus and be saved. Come to Jesus now. May God's name be glorified. Amen. Our closing hymn is 302. Come, Holy Spirit, like a dove descending, rest thou upon us while we meet to pray. Show us the Saviour, his great love revealed. Lead us to him, the life, the truth, the way. Let us stand to sing 302.